My goodness. Welcome to board meeting on December 10th, 2025. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance of Mr. Bob Bunker will lead us.
Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any public comments?
Yes.
So you have 3 minutes.
Hopefully we get it done. Gary Elgort, citizen of Mesquite. About 3 years ago, you guys had a base rate increase. Maybe it's 3 years, 4 years, whatever it was. You went from $30 to $32.40. You did an 8% across the board base rate increase while you had in your hands a study that suggested that some of your base rates were way below what they should be. You paid for a study. It recommended, I think, your large commercial or whatever that base rate is to be like $2,000 a month. They were 70. You said, oh, we'll give you an 8% rate increase and we'll give everybody in the public an 8% rate increase also. At least that was across the board even in percentage. This time, you tacked $4 onto the base rate of everybody in every class, which means a 12%, give or take, rate increase to the general public, the guy who owns a house, me, everybody in here, everybody in three cities, and you gave a $4 increase onto the commercial base rate, a 5% increase. That is a slap in the face to every resident that you serve. You had a study that told you you were way undercharging on the base rate for certain categories. You did nothing to bring that up. You just sat there and made an even base rate increase across the board. I'm upset at the staff for suggesting it because I know you had a dollar amount to fill. You said, we got to make this money. How do we do that? Let's just charge everybody $4 more. But that's not what you're supposed to do, especially you, the board that's elected by us, the people who live here and in the other towns. You're supposed to protect us. You're supposed to look at how the money is brought in and how it's spent. And that is not the right way to bring it in, putting that full burden on the residents. You should have looked at the increase and said, wait a second. You have a study that says some of these rates are way low, but we're going to only raise them less percentage-wise than what we're going to tack on to the resident. I can't believe this happened. Like, some of you were here last time I was in here talking about this exact issue. And I said, instead of doing an 8% rate increase across the board, I requested that you look at doing a percentage of the delta. Like, residents were $20 below what they were supposed to be, and commercial was $1,560 below what it was supposed to be. So take 10% of that delta, add $2 to the residents and $150 to the commercial. Commercial, other rate classes have the ability to pass costs through. The only people who can't pass them through are the people you hit with the biggest percentage rate increase. People sitting in their homes, getting a 2.8% COLA on their Social Security, and getting banged with a 12% base rate increase. I really wish you'd thought this through a little deeper, both on your end and here, because you usually impress me. But this time,
your time's up.
I'm a little sad about it.
Thank you for coming, Gary. I always appreciate your commentary.
Thank you for listening. Hopefully.
Okay, is there any other?
Different.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Jim Belknap. I got a bill day before yesterday on the property that I moved into in 2024. It was a past due bill for 2 days worth of service from the people who owned the house before I bought it. I was told that I could either pay the bill, or if I didn't pay the bill, you would lien my property, and when I sold the house in the future, you'd collect the bill. Now, I want to know if that's your policy, that I have to pay somebody else's power bill. Nobody couldn't answer that?
I think we would need a little bit more information. I would love to meet with you. If you are available tomorrow, I would come to your home. If you can't come back to the office, let us do a little bit of research and find out.
Okay.
If you don't own a lot of money,
but what I did was I called. The girl was very nice and explained that I would have to pay it eventually and that you really didn't care because the person who died in the house and the trust who owned the house when I bought it didn't pay their bill. So this is two people behind, and you want me to do it. It's just a principle thing. I totally understand.
Give us, aren't you able to
write off $10.18 of a bill.
We did write it off.
No, I got the bill day before yesterday.
I understand, but my staff talked to me, and we are writing it off.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Problem solved.
We are writing it off. Okay. I apologize.
Nice work. You're handy to have around.
Sorry.
Very good. Are there others?
Yes, I spoke with my staff yesterday.
Okay, very good. We need a motion to accept the agenda.
I'll move that we accept the agenda as presented.
I second.
Have a motion, have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? E, approval of the minutes of the previous meeting for October 15th. Looking for a motion. Oh, and November.
Yeah, one at a time.
October's minutes.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Looking for a motion to accept those agendas.
I'll move that we accept the two agendas, October and November.
Minutes.
My goodness, it's minutes.
I know.
Got it.
It's a good thing we've got a high-paid lawyer to do that for us.
Sorry, Fire.
We need a second.
Oh, looking for a second.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, we got a second.
Who did that?
Any favor say aye.
Randy.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? F, no chair report at this time. Make sure we get out in time to meet our wives and so on, and husbands. Attorney's report.
I don't have anything at this time unless anyone has questions for me.
Okay. Word to you, Ms. Melissa.
Thank you. We will start it off with safety first, so Kyle will kick us off.
Right. For the line operations board report for December 2025, safety first. We didn't have a safety meeting since the last time we met with the holiday schedules and the schedules of the safety meetings. It just lined up that way. So I felt it was going to be a good time to give you a bit of a progress report for our safety committee and what they've been up to. We've recently sat a mostly new safety committee. There was a couple that stayed on, but a lot of new members to that. And Steve Barlow is the safety committee chairperson. He's been tasked with a lot from Melissa and myself, and they've been making some strides. So I was going to show you what we've accomplished. Soon you'll see a down power line awareness campaign going out. We have had Vernon working with our committee on that. We're excited for that to go out in the social medias. The committee is working on the Clark County Fair. It's just around the corner, so we're going to have a demonstration inside of it again. It takes a lot of legwork to get prepared for that. Some of the trainings that we have planned coming up soon, one outside of the box or a little bit outside the box, is we're going to do with Metro active shooter training at our Overton facility. We're pretty excited for that. Scenario-based trainings, and we've been working with ESCI and just developing our 2026 schedule coming up for the next year for all of our safety meetings. As far as our safety program, the entire staff have been given the safety manual and they've been reading through it with a deadline to have that read, and then we are all going to sign that we approve of that safety manual. The goal is to do that the 1st of January in just a couple weeks. Everybody seems to be on schedule for that, and we're excited to get that accomplished as an entire OPD5 staff.
How many pages is that?
A lot.
It's
a lot. It's a lot of work.
We're reading it in sections.
Yeah, there's been a lot of remarks back. As a committee, we worked on it for years, and you feel like you read that thing front to back four times, and you covered everything, but then we sent it to staff to do the pre-read so everybody's on board with it, and of course, I think Christie's team found a few things that maybe we should tweak the wording on and get a little more clarification on, so it's been very good to get it out to the staff, and we've had time to work on that. We're working on the ARC flash study. It's due for renewal. That's in the process. I hope to get that to the safety committee soon for their approval. And then recently we had the safety committee walk all of our facilities, go office by office, walkways, warehouse, looking for those safety issues that we overlook every day. And that committee went through and compiled a list of suggestions that went out to the staff. So that was a great opportunity there. And then last but not least, they're working with getting a hearing testing vendor set up for 2026. It's something we haven't had for quite a few years, but we want to get back on that hearing testing being done. So that's the progress report for the safety committee for the last few months. Outage report for the month of November. We've had 4 unplanned outages. The biggest one to note is at the very bottom there. That's an outage we had up in Warm Springs. I believe it was the day after Thanksgiving in the evening time. It's 303 customers, and it was off for just over an hour and a half. The response time to Warm Springs, as soon as those guys get the call, it's in the evening, but they're getting on the road as soon as they can. Now, most of us are in the Bottom Valley, Overton, Logandale. To get up to there, it's 45 minutes, and so that's the majority of it. And then you have to get...
We drive the speed limit, Chad.
And then we have to get through all those different circuits around that area and give it all covered. So that's why the time took so long there. And then, of course, a cause is unknown. We just don't like to see that, but it tends to happen depending on the area of town. With a lot of vegetation, a lot of animals, it seems to be what happens. So, service installations for the month of November, we had 34 total, and all of them residential. All of them also in the Virgin Valleys. See that there. And the annual total brings us up to 417 service installations, and month of November was 34, another average month. Okay, the exciting stuff. We got a new hire on the line team. As you're all aware, we had a spot to fill, and we've had that ad out for some time now. So we hired Brent Wolf. He's back here in the back, one of my beautiful bearded brethren you see back there. We're excited to have Brent here. He comes from us from the contractor world, from Southern Arizona is where he's home based out of. Comes with a lot of experience. So we're excited for that. You know, the contractor life gets a lot of experiences on his shoulders, and we're hoping to glean a lot of that information from him and then enfold him into Overton Power District. You know, we've been putting on our best shoes to show off to him, and we're hoping that he's really enjoying Overton Power District, and so far we're excited and happy to have him here. Brent started as a third-step apprentice. His hours that he's accumulated through his apprenticeship with the contractor life, he's got a lot of hours, but they don't necessarily jive exactly with IPSA. So we worked with Brent, and he started on as a third-step apprentice with the ability to test in March to become a fourth-step apprentice. So we're pretty excited for Brent to get started with us and see how things go going forward. So, okay.
Nice to meet you all.
Where are you based at?
Phoenix, Arizona.
No, are you based here in Mesquite?
Oh, yes. So right now I'm at a trailer park. I'm just waiting for my wife and everything to move out of here.
Okay.
She's a nurse, so she's under contract, so we really can't do anything yet. And I got to sell my other house. I have tenants right now, so.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Good to have you here.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You'll enjoy it.
We've enjoyed Brent so far. You know, it's still fresh, but we're very excited. So
he's fitting in perfectly, and he knows the way to my heart. It was his very first week, and we had the Christmas parade here in Mesquite, and he was going to go home to be with his family. And I said, "Are you getting on the road?" And he said, "No, I'm going to stay and participate in the parade, and then go home." So already, I love him. I love him already. And
well played, Brent.
Week,
well
yes.
played.
Yes.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks for being here. Next, exciting news. We have more of my amendment in the back there. We had apprentice testing last week. So through the IPSA program, three times a year, we have apprentice testing to where those apprentices can advance to the next step if they're successful. We had a very successful week last week. We had both Zach Barnum and Mike Abbott. Raise your hands.
Stand up. Let us
stand
see
up.
You.
Yep, there you go. Zach on the left, Mike on the right. Both these men took their journeyman test. So they tested out of their apprenticeship and were successful. They had very good grades. We're so happy for the hard work that they put in over the last 4 years. A lot of effort on the job, but also at home that they spend studying and getting this accomplished. So very happy to have them here today and give them some praise. So good job, gentlemen.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And then last but not least, we had Dallin Lovett. He's a...
Stand up, Dallin. Don't be shy.
Advanced to the third step apprentice. He was successful in passing his test last week, and he has two more years? Is that right? Two more years to get through. So we're excited to keep reporting to you good news from Dallin Lovett into the future.
Good job, Dallin.
Okay, I'm going to teach you a little bit today about the apprenticeship process. Instead of doing over my jobs and the different things that I do, I figured I'd give you a little bit of an overview of the apprenticeship. So our apprenticeship is through the IPSA. You hear me talk about that a lot. That's a group of utilities throughout mostly Utah. There's Nevada, Arizona, Wyoming, Idaho that go to IPSA. But then through the Utah Labor Board and Salt Lake Community College, we get the accreditation to have these journeymen go through that apprenticeship and get that completed. So all of the curriculum goes through Salt Lake Community College, and that's the basis of it. The apprenticeship is a four-year program. You hear us talk a lot about the first year, second year, third year, fourth year. Those apprentices compile on-the-job training hours that they have to keep track of every day, and through a month, they keep track of that on-the-job hours. It requires 1,950 hours per year for them in order to test and test out like these gentlemen did here. Or like Mike and Zach, that's 7,800 hours that they have to have before they can test out. It requires weekly training, like classroom hands-on training. And so what that is for these gentlemen is they have to travel up to St. George once a week during the school year and go to the pole yard up there or transfer courses up there, and that's required to go to that and get those related training hours. They have to have 144 related training hours in order to journey out. It requires at-home study, which is part of the related training hours, and that's the one. It's hard. It's hard on the family. I remember when I was going through apprenticeship, my wife could have passed those tests just as well as I could, because I relied on her. The way I learn and the way I know a lot of linemen learn is that she reads the questions to me, I answer them, we work through them, and that's how I really learned that through. So I know these men spend a lot of time at home missing out on family events and studying with their wives on this. So
in an outage situation, if there's a question, Kyra could probably jump in and help us.
That's right. We have many to call on at Overton Power District. Let's see. I think I hit on most of that stuff. The hours are logged. I'll show you on a sheet in just a second, but the supervisors also verify that and sign off on their hours. Exactly. Yep. This is that monthly sheet. This is Mike Abbott's November 2024. So we can look at a little snapshot of Mike Abbott here. In that first week, it looks like let's go first. Sorry. On the left, A through X. Those are the different categories that IPSA requires you to get hours in. There's a certain amount that they have to have for each category. I'll show you on the next sheet. But in this first week, it looks like they're changing poles, if you had my guess. They put a lot of time down to overhead rubber gloving and then also climbing poles. You can see where Mike designated those hours, and then they just compile through the month. Make note that there's holidays in there, so that takes away from, to get 1,950 hours, if there's holidays, if there's vacations planned, you have to be really mindful. We put a lot of effort on, or we put a lot of pressure on them to stick to the four-year program. We have a position for them that's designed that when they finish up, we want you to be at 4 years so that you fill that role for us. We want them to enjoy their vacation, don't get me wrong, but we don't also want them to...
But keep them short.
Yes. Let's stay on task, get you through that apprenticeship, and then enjoy Overton Power District. Let's see. Next page. This is the summary. You see the A through X on the left there, the same categories. And then you can see Mike's first year, second year, third year, fourth year. The total that he was able to get for each of those categories, and then the total required for those categories. You see on the far right, it's required that they have 85% of each one of those categories. So it's up to the supervisors and the managers to make sure that those men are getting the hours or getting on the job site for those hours so they can actually get legitimate hours for those categories. If he's a good operator, a good equipment operator, and we want to just send him out operating, well, that's great, but he's not going to get legitimate hours for metering or substations. We have to make sure that he's getting to all those different job sites to get those hours accomplished. Now, step tests. That's the test that these gentlemen went through last week. They're, They're 4 times a year. We like to send our men to the step tests that are in December and March because they're held in St. George. It's a lot easier to send men to St. George rather than Salt Lake. That's a stressful time for these men. Not only do they have to prepare, study, like I was describing, there's a lot on their shoulders. If you fail a test, there's implications. If you fail multiple tests, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And quite honestly, it's your career that's on the line if you don't pass these tests. So there's a lot of stress on these gentlemen to go have a good step test and get past this. Before they can test, there's a packet that's compiled of all their on-the-job training hours. All that, whether for these journeymen, that's 4 years of every month is compiled. There's also a letter that I write that requests that they're allowed to test. And then, is that it? That's basically it. But Kelly and this year, Shauna, it took over for Kelly because Kelly was in her treatments. So Shauna put it together for these men this year. And that is a burden to get the paperwork done efficiently from the construction world, you have to be on them. So we appreciate Shauna this year, and we really appreciate Kelly every year being beside us, getting that paperwork compiled and turned in on time so that these gentlemen can test and move on through their apprenticeship. The third year step test, I was just going to give you a snapshot of the two worst. It's a four-part test. This is the step test day, or step test days. It's a four-part test. Usually day one is the written portion. There's a written test on the third year. It's usually about 100 questions on the written test. And then the transformer test is also a written. It's got connections and theory, and there's a lot of questions there also. Then the day two is the in the pole yard. They'll be on those poles doing the phasing test and the practical test, and quite honestly, it's most of the day that they'll be out in the pole yard. And a lot of that is on the pole, like you see those gentlemen on the right there. The journeyman test, which Mike and Zach just accomplished this week, same thing, but more so, right? Like they're finishing off their apprenticeship, and so the test is difficult. It's every bit of everything they've learned is piled in on those 2 days for those gentlemen. A lot of written tests, the same transformer and theory test, plus some, and then the practical in the pole yard was, how long were you on the pole, Zach?
About 8 hours
last week.
And his every move is monitored.
Yep,
you have testers monitoring his every move for 8 hours.
You're given a task in the morning. It's a stressful task. It includes switching and the work on the poles and all those things. And you by yourself have to navigate through that. You don't have a team to call on like you would here at home. You don't have your foreman to call on to double-check questions. You're sent through that on your own with your knowledge of what you've learned through that. So it's an incredible day for these gentlemen. We're so grateful that they went and represented Overton Power well and got good notes to tell you about today. So that's my report, unless there's any questions.
Well, I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
Two areas. One, I take it the pay scale changes as you become higher in the...
Correct.
Okay, so that... And then
What happens if they, for instance, don't get it within exactly 4 years? Then it just carries over into the fifth year?
It does, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I mean, because looking at the schedule, some people have vacation.
For sure,
and
so, yeah.
As you say, in my sick leave days or something may yeah. come up.
Yeah, and we want, you know, we want them to stick to that 4 year, but quite honestly, we designed to where they do their first test in December, but they have March as a backup. So there's many a times that most apprentices okay. start in December and they don't actually test out till March.
Yeah.
Just by design of, like you said, you got family
life,
events.
Life happens, yeah.
They have kids. You don't want them to miss out on these things, but we have that design, and this doesn't take away from where we put them at Overton Power District, but we want to keep the pressure on them so that they strive to stay on it, to stay busy on it. So, yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're so proud of you guys.
Yeah, good stuff, man.
All right, thank you,
tough.
Kyle. In true lineman fashion, you guys are welcome to stay, but we know that as soon as Kyle finishes talking, then you guys are always quick to exit, so we won't hold it against you, but I am going to give you a hard time at safety meeting if you do.
Call time's at 4:30.
You got 4 minutes. All right, next up we have engineering, Randall.
All right, you guys stay in?
For you.
All right, okay.
For you.
All right, they're counting on you. Sometimes they do. Okay, this is the Tortoise, the Gila 138 KV project. I want to show you this picture. The picture on the left here is a pad that we built that was 37 feet tall and 100 by 100. And we were able to use the material from the cut going underneath the major transmission line. So we were able to use most of that material to build that pad. And so that project is done. And they're just on the right here. You can see them just cleaning up and doing the fine grading. And the project is to grade and it's finished up. So we're able to cross probably here the next month. We'll be building the line underneath there. Ring bus expansion continues to progress. They're setting all the steel and all the foundations are done. And they're moving forward. The Tortoise Ring Bus project and the 69 bus, which I'm going to show next, they will all be done, and it's scheduled to be done in January. We'll have both those projects complete. And then we have testing and commissioning that Kevin will take care of and his crew. And so hopefully by February, those are completed. We've been talking about these projects for the last couple of years. And so this next year, I'm probably not going to have a lot to report on for the first few months, so I'll probably take those months off.
Wrong.
And work on my presentation. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
The switchyard, long drive switchyard, the switchyard and Raptor sub were both in the same position. All the steel, all the equipment has been installed, and they're working on bus work now. And these are scheduled to be also completed in January. A Raptor, you can see also they've... never mind. Anyway, you can see the conductor being dropped into the substation on the H structure there. And so those both are progressing really well. The update on Moapa West, I'm sure most of you heard, if you read the local papers, they pulled their zone change application with Clark County right now. And I don't think that kills the project.
Isn't that Bridge Shores you're talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, Bridge Shores. Bridge Shores pulled their application. And I don't think that kills the project. We haven't heard anything from them. Moapa West, we are working with them at NVE. We have completed the agreement to do the studies. We paid them this last week for money from Moapa West. So the studies that we need to get from NV Energy are in the queue with their engineering department. And we hope to hear back anywhere from 3 to 6 months what they've given us their timeline. And once we have that information, we can share with Moapa West, then I'm sure that they'll start making decisions on where they're going to go, what direction they're going. WEC, we can continue to work on WEC. We have a couple of standards that we're ready to submit for review, and we hope to have them completed to give to WEC in January and have that process started. We will probably ask for an extension of time as we've gotten further into this. that July of next year is going to be really tight for us. WEC has indicated that with fairly good reasons and data that we can provide, that they're open to that. And that's my report, and if you have any questions, now's the time. Okay, thank you.
Good job, Randall. Good to do.
Thank you, Randall.
Quick, like him quick.
Next up, we have Kevin with SubOps.
Can you turn that on and off real quick on the side?
That work?
Yes.
Go find the cursor. All right. I got the sick upside down, right set up. There we go. So I know you guys are going to be disappointed, but all I've got is pictures and a couple slides. So I know. This is the Mesquite Sub Bay 2. I'm calling Mesquite Sub because that's what it's currently called. Okay, this will soon be the Arrowhead Sub. This is the decommissioning of that substation right there.
We're going to change the name to the Hanson Sub when you retire because... so you'll know the name.
This is a distribution site. Decommission and reassemble was quick, and it was a accumulation of a lot of different departments. You got the line crew and the sub ops and the engineering department. It was all a big orchestration to get all of this work done because it was a tremendous amount of work. This is the transmission side of that sub. So you've got the A-frame towers that need to be disassembled. We had Rouge Crane come down and transport that transformer for us. So we had a contractor come in, and those concrete, it was amazing. I could not believe he grabbed a hold of those things, wiggle, and popped them right out of the ground.
Oh, wow.
Just amazing. All of that concrete was torn out. The A-frames, I thought this was ingenious, whoever did this. They took old power poles and cut them the width that they needed so that those legs wouldn't fall off the trailer, and strapped them down and just walked them right down the boulevard and didn't have to cut them up and reassemble them. So this is more pictures of the concrete coming out. And this is this morning when I went and took that picture. So we have a brand new fresh slate to start working our new Arrowhead substation, placing all of that on there.
Yeah, you tore that addition on the building too, huh?
We did. We took the awning off.
That's the one being sold.
Yeah, that building is the one being sold. So yeah, we've got that out to see what we can get as far as offers on buying the building and removing it as part of the price. So,
how big is it?
It's 40 by 60. Mm-hmm. It's a nice building. It's an older building, but it's still a nice building.
Does Cinnamon need a she shed? Because
shoot me.
That could be really nice.
So this is the other side where that equipment went. This is up here at Painted Hills, just right up here. There's the transformer being set on that pad. That's the new pad we poured. I reported on a couple months ago. And there it is. This is the view looking from the distribution side on the right-hand side. Is the distribution side looking towards the transformer. And this is the transmission side looking back towards the distribution side. There's a couple of A-frames we have to work on. We may have to add some parts to make it work with this site, but not a big deal. We can weld what we need on those towers and get them up in the air. So everything that was down at the Mesquite yard is now up here in Painted Hills. So now it's just a matter of getting it all connected together, all the cables and everything folded and energized. So we hope to have this in service by spring of 26, I guess.
Yeah.
It's still 25, so.
Yeah.
We need this in service before summer load comes on, so we're going to push hard to get this done. And it's still under budget, so just so you guys know, this one's still under budget.
This one.
And as far as I can tell, the Arrowhead sub is still in budget.
So. Your fingers aren't crossed, right?
And that's my report.
Thank you, Heather.
Oh. you know, it's really incredible seeing the report of the pictures. You've been on the board a long time, and before, just talking about it, you have nothing, no idea what the hell's going on. Yeah. Now you can see these pictures, and you see graphics. Really excellent. Really, the staff has done a wonderful job on informing us, because, you know, Rich may know some of this stuff, but a lot of us don't, so it's really, really nice.
Thank you.
What happened to everything that was in the building?
Oh, it's been moved off-site into different locations.
We did not throw away all your treasures, Roger Jones. We just moved them to...
There was a lot of stuff.
There was. We did get rid of a lot of stuff then.
Don't leave mad, Scott.
I was about to sneak out of here.
Scott is chomping to go, and we are excited to hear the admin. Yeah.
All right, so quarterly report for administrative services. I'm going to go ahead and skip the cyber report. We just did it 3 weeks ago, so let's just jump right into the automatic bill pay. Okay, so for 2025, we have 44, 67, and 76 new automatic bill pay signups. Our total automatic bill pay is at 10,665, and that is 56.73% of our customer base.
Right.
New customers on e-bill was 34 September, 58 in October, and 94 in November. And that is 6,801. Or 36.18% of our customer base. Total number of calls, we are declining. Over this last year, we had 818 in November. So that is steadily going down throughout the year. And our average on-hold wait time is remaining about 8 seconds. So it's really good. Our average talk time is also very, very flat, very consistent, right there at about 2.5 minutes. Our total walk-in customers continues to decline a little bit as well. We had 2155 in September, 2026, and 1792. I'm going to go over just a couple community events. I know Melissa did that last month, but top left, Veterans Day. Top right, Mesquite Veterans Day, or that's Overton, that's Mesquite. This was just a few days ago. This is the Christmas lights, the Parade of Lights in Mesquite. Parade of Lights in Mesquite. And then here in the middle was the Career Day held here at Virgin Valley High School. I'm supposed to give a big thank you to everyone also. It takes a lot of people to make that possible. Christy does a great job in organizing that. We have Sal, and I think that's Omar there, heading that up at our table. Just doing a fantastic job. And then the food drive. Chris Felix, Jeremy Merrill, Vernon Robinson, Stephen, Eldon, myself, and of course Christy for organizing everything. This is in Mesquite, and that is in Overton at the Kapalapa Resource Center. Okay, we're going to go into social media. Communications. This is Mike's favorite one. This is our new Instagram followers. We're trying, Mike. We're building it slowly.
Yeah.
So we just have a long way to go, at least for Instagram. Yeah. Our followers and reach, our Instagram followers are at 595. Our reach is increasing. We're at 1150 and 1104. That's anybody that saw our post. Facebook is the big one. We had 23, 31, and 23 new or Facebook posts. Vernon does all of these Facebook posts. He does a good job, always creating new content. And our followers are also increasing over the 2025 year. Our reach is also increasing. I mean, with all those new posts, people are pretty interested in what's being posted. We had a massive 18,000 person reach and a 13,542 reach in November. And so our total Facebook followers is 4,481.
And then we wanted to dig into the website analytics. And so we broke it down. We tried to see how granular we could get with the page views. And so we had 8,719 unique views. We have 4,062 active users. That's anybody that went on multiple pages. They spent an average time of 26 seconds on the site. And the top five pages, the home page had the most views, 6403, direct pay, application for new service, job opportunities, and board meetings. And you can see the views right there. Homepage, of course, is the biggest, and I guess they just left the site at that point. And then the highest average time on the pages. Staff certification article, we had 3.5 minutes. Job opportunities, we had a minute, or almost 2 minutes. And then the 90-year anniversary article, we had a minute and 49 seconds. And then the top news engagement. So I guess of all the news articles that are in that category, how many did they get clicked on? How many people saw those? Wildfire protection grant, 90-year anniversary, and the Mesquite crew response. That's 67 unique clicks. And that is my report. Any questions?
Yeah, I saw the Facebook, the articles, how Vernon's doing. It's a terrific job. Really interesting, keeps your attention if you look at it. So I can see why the readership is going up.
Absolutely.
It's got some good stuff.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Scott. That was great. And now on to Jonathan for financials.
All righty.
Sorry, Jonathan, they're dropping like flies. Those linemen don't care about them.
Get the numbers in.
I'll have a talk with them.
All right, so we'll begin with our statement of operations for November in the far right column. So our operating revenue, we received $4,444,000. So this was slightly below what our projected amount was by $400,000, and we, which has been fairly consistent, is a little bit higher this month, or a little bit larger difference, but it's been fairly consistent around, on average, $200,000 less each month for the year. Our cost of purchase power was $2.4 million, and then on line 20, our total cost of electric service, $3.68. We had our interest received on investments at $25,000, and then our line 29 margins for November were $387,000. So our budget for this month was actually right around $380,000. However, we had we had one large job that closed in November. And that was the job producer of revenue around $280,000, and so we would have been right around $100,000 in net margins in November had we not had that job.
What kind of job are we talking about here?
That was a customer paying job. It was the Nevada State Parks is the Valley Fire.
Okay, so when you finish it, they pay you off or something like that.
We recognize their revenue in the year that it's closed.
Okay.
We receive the funds as time goes on the project, but we're not able to, we don't recognize those revenues and close the job until
the job closes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so our year-to-date margins are slightly higher than what we were kind of reporting last year, right over $5 million on column B there. However, we do still have December, month of December, and we're projected to have a significant loss there. And as we've looked at that, there we do have some additional expenses that are going to come in December that we actually haven't captured yet. And so we're still anxious to see what December will be. So we're optimistic that the loss actually is an $800,000 loss. Is what our budget is, but we're anticipating it not being quite that high. So
See if I have any questions on this. Okay. Our balance sheet on our line 5, net utility plant, we close with a value of $162 million. And then we have our line 8 investments in associated organizations, line 15 cash, line 18 temporary investments, line 23 materials and supplies, and then our line 29 total assets and other debits at $189,905,000. So on our liability side, we have margins and equities on line 36 of $132 million. And then our line 43, long-term debt, and we'll go into detail a little bit about that, but that's $45.5 million, so that increased from last month by the $2 million that we borrowed in at the beginning of November. And then our line 48, accounts payable, again, our total liabilities and equities is $189.9 million. Our ratios, modified debt service coverage ratio with estimates from now until December 1.59, so slightly above or slightly below our goal. And we had equity as a percentage of assets right under 70%. And then our time since earned ratio, that's a year-to-date ratio of 4.35%, so slightly above our goal. Cash closed there in the middle, our month ending balance of $5,044,000. And then our Morton account value at $6,326,000. And then our Goldman account at $4,297,000. And then our year to date margins on the side of each one of those accounts there. Securities by type and by duration, type at the top and duration at the bottom, in our Morton account, mostly held in CDs, all federally insured. And then our total customers, we closed with 19,159 as of November 30th. Connection fees dipped quite a bit in November. One of our large customers that usually consistently submits and pays connection fees did not do any in November. However, we've already received a substantial number for December, and we may receive another one also. So no real trend there, just that for whatever reason November wasn't month that those are submitted and paid, and one of our largest customers that we receive them from. Current billing arrangements, so commercial customers, we have zero, and then our residential, we're at 2,361 with 14 customers. Around our program balances there, again, we're grateful for all those who contribute to this to support our local high schools. And then here we have since we pay our debt with CFC on a quarterly basis, the increase here is just the $2 million loan that we took at the beginning of November. And so that's reflected there. So $43.5 million was our outstanding debt last month, and so $45.5 million. And our breakdown of revenue by customer class is here with the averages on the right. And then summarized at the bottom here, our monthly cost for power. So November, that you notice that's quite a significant increase. I had to basically estimate the majority of the bills in November. And so I estimated a little high. And also in October, that amount is quite a bit lower because we
I don't know if you remember this or not. Back in July, Ambient Energy charged us over $200,000 in an EIM adjustment, and they said that whatever, there was a delay in receiving information, and we were going to receive that credit back when they received the update information, and we received it in October. So that actually reduced our cost of power in October, and we reported it in that month. So it was it's a 70-day true-up that we received. So that's why the October is quite a bit lower. Last month we reported it was actually around the same as September, but with that reduction, that's where the monthly cost is 7.27 cents. So again, November, we've received one of the bills, and our cost is actually going to be lower than what it is now for the November average cost. So the monthly revenue, average 12.18 cents, and then our 25 average cost year to date is right at 7.65 cents. Again, that monthly revenue goes up a little when the per kWh usage decreases. So those were similar averages back in, I believe it was April and March and April for the same kWh sold, around 30,000 if you look at line 15 across. We're at 29 million kWh. That was pretty close to what we were in those months with the same month of revenue. And then that concludes my report, unless you have any questions.
I do. The Fed cut their rate just now. Will that affect our next borrowing, do you think?
Yes. There's a little bit of lag, but yes, it will. And we haven't taken any more loans. We've just taken the $2 million.
So probably see something in January with the rates will go down. Why are you saying we postpone that?
Yeah. I want to say a big thank you to Jonathan. Jonathan had to post financials by the 4th of the month, so his staff had 3 days to put together all of this report for you, which of course includes a number of estimates. On top of that, he was trying to finalize all of his presentation for budget, so I feel his pain, because for many years I was the person that was working those long days to get the finances out. So good job, Jonathan. Thank you.
So now you don't have to work long hours.
I wish that were true. My husband will differ with you on that. Mr. Davis from the Moapa Valley Water District and I have been in contact in regards to some funding opportunities that may be available to local utilities. We have a meeting scheduled with Commissioner Kirkpatrick on Monday the 15th to visit with her about that, and I will of course keep you guys up to date on any of those opportunities that come our way. Mm-hmm. Vernon and I have been in discussions, and we are still seeking assistance through Congressman Horsford's office for some federal appropriations. That is a long and arduous process, but I am not giving up. I have about 15 years left in my career, and I want us to get federal appropriations before I turn in my retirement. So we are strong and steady in working towards that. I contributed to the Budget and Dues Committee for NREA, and that is one of my roles that I fill there. And that budget and the associated dues that are for each entity that is a part of NREA were presented to the NREA board, and that was approved. There will be no increase in the dues that OPD5 pays for 2026. I have continued to attend daily meetings with the staff of Escape Solar. These meetings are also being attended by other OPD5 staff, the engineers that are representing us from ECI, and then staff of Lincoln County Power District. Further discussion on this matter will take place in executive session tonight. Mary Ann has been our work order clerk for 5.5 years, and she does a wonderful job. And Mary Ann is newly engaged and will be moving to Northern Utah to start her new family in February. And so we will be posting her position, that will be posting next week. We love Mary Ann, and we actually love Adam, and so we gave our blessing that she could, yes, marry him and go start her new family. We are thrilled for her. We will miss her terribly, but Adam is a wonderful man, and Mary Ann has been showing her ring and FaceTiming with Adam around the office so everybody could meet her fiancé. She is giddy like a schoolgirl, and we are thrilled for her. So you will see postings for that position. I am the Region 9 representative for the NRECA, I have to look what it's called, Regulatory Committee. I've begun work on those 2026 resolutions, our committee has. Those resolutions will be presented at the NRECA meeting that is held in January. This year it is in Palm Desert, California, and so I will be in attendance for that conference and those meetings. And if you remember, NRECA, because I am representing, they pay for my travel, my attendance to the conference, so there is no cost to Overton except for my time away from the office. And that concludes my presentation, unless you guys have any other questions of meetings that I've attended. All right, Mr. Chair.
I review and possible approval of OPD 5-2026 expense budget. This is for possible action.
Jonathan did such a good job running the meeting last month and doing all of the talking that I've decided to let him do it again this month. So I'm going to let Jonathan take it away and discuss with you guys the 26 budget.
Okay, for if you could back up a slide there,
sure.
For the public record, I want to state this. So this is for review and possible approval for a $60,005,822 fiscal impact. Staff presents an annual budget in December each year. The budget provides an estimate of income and expenses and shows the staff's estimate of cash flows. Budget includes the cost of purchase power, wages, benefits, material supplies, and other expenses needed for the operation of the business. Budget presentation includes a look back at financial performance of business and a budget forecast for the next 2 years in order to give the board an understanding of the direction and trajectory of finances. Budget update is presented each month for review by the board, and the update includes a year-to-date comparison of the previous year. And the proposed motion is to approve the 26 expense budget as presented. So if we go to the first slide there.
Oh, sorry.
Right there. So, I'm sorry. Okay. So with the total budget of $60 million, this is the breakdown of where each of those costs will be spent in 2026. So our largest cost, as always, is our purchase power at 57%. And then broken down here, we have the payroll wages at 11% and payroll benefits at 7%, depreciation at 5%, other costs at 4%, then our interest expense at 4%, and then not a cost, but our margin will be just over $7 million at 12%. So the... I guess we didn't get the slide in there that was supposed to be in there. But so I wanted to show a comparison. I wanted to show a comparison here that I guess Stephen, that slide didn't get put in there, the new one. But to show a summary of, I'm sorry.
Do you want me to see if I can get it real quick?
Yeah, it'd be helpful. We wanted to do a summary of the changes. So we have the 2025 proposed budget, and then we have a 2025 actual expenses, and then
the estimated December, and then the difference between that and our 2026 in this, in this category right here. So
one more. There you go.
Yeah, right there. Perfect. Okay, so the blue is our 2025 budget that was approved last year. The orange is our actuals. And then gray is our proposed for 2026. So a couple of things I want to point out, too. If we look at the bar graph, the first one there, our cost of power, we're at $38.7 million. And we actually, because of our reduced usage, we're at, and this is estimated with December, we're at $35.9 million for our cost of power, so a reduction of close to $3 million. And then for 26, what we're anticipating is right at $34 million for our cost of power.
Mm-hmm. Remembering that our solar contract will be for the entire year.
Yeah. So down there at the bottom, that's, so I show that difference there. That's the 25 actual and the 26 budgeted amount. So solar and the slightly reduced hydro allocation, and then the slightly increased cost in the hydro cost.
So like payroll and wages are going up $1 million.
Is that for WEC?
Yes.
Is that WEC?
No. WEC is tied in with the payroll and wages, and then it's netted in with the other category, but this is just a broad one. We'll show you where the actual WEC ones fall out there.
It is for one person. There is, that's the addition of an employee.
It's really nice to see the difference, because, you know, when you just pull a big number, we don't remember what it was last year necessarily, yeah. So it's very nice to see that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Easy to understand.
And the next one there, interest expense, that's with our proposed increased borrowings. I don't actually anticipate it being that high. Well, I mean, the interest rates did go down, but we've only borrowed the $2 million so far this year. And this was a prelim that we would already have borrowed the $9 million this year. And then, and actually, I did a borrowing of $9 million January 1 of 2026, basically worst case scenario. So and these numbers are all not to exceed, but I anticipate our interest expense increase shouldn't quite be at $900,000, but that's the increase there. Interest expense
for the total $18 million. Mm-hmm. To borrow.
Yeah.
If we borrowed it all in January.
Yeah.
With a rate down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depreciation. So as we close plant, that percentage of our general plant increases, and so there's a slight increase. That's basically been what we've been doing the last, you know, on average the last 3 or 4 years, increase of around 100,000 based off of the percentage of the closed plant. Then the payroll, wages, and benefits. So that's an increase of $1 million. So that increase there includes, there's two parts that make that up. So one is one we had back in, I think it was September, where we approved the increased healthcare costs, which was around $150,000. That's going to happen. There's also our cost of living increases that are in there, 2.5 across the board for each employee. There is also and with that increase, the increase to PERS. PERS actually, which is the pension, in 2025 had an increase, but in 2026 there's no increase to PERS, so we're grateful for that. We haven't heard what 2027 is going to be, if they're going to do an increase, but no change there in 2026. And then the other increases in that payroll wage are the increase of the engineering personnel to help with the WEC compliance that we did in November with Eldon. So his wage is in there. And so with that, there's $600,000 that are for sure going to happen. And then the additional $400,000 include additional entry-level positions for groundmen, IT, and the substations. However, we made the decision to put a hold on those for 2026, and we're going to evaluate those as our finances are, you know, how it plays out because of our margins. Yes. And then at the very earliest, if we do make a decision, those will be brought before the board to do those additional hires, and that will be in the last quarter of 2026. So of the increase, we have a 1 million, but for sure it's going to be around 600,000 pending the additional buoys. So then hopefully the margins there, and I used the same number that we presented last month, the 3.7 million, to be conservative and not for sure what December's going to do. And so that's the increase based off of that. So, do you have any questions off of this? Okay. So then the breakdown here, this is the payroll of the total of the 10.6 million, just where each of them goes. So the wages there at 61%, and the second largest is the health insurance at 16%, or I'm sorry, the PERS is at 22%, and then the health insurance is agreed at 16%. So that's the breakdown of each one of those. So here we showed this, and there's been some slight modifications to this. We showed it last month, and actually the month before. So 2025, that's year to date. For, again, if you look at our, well, we have the historical 23 and 24. Basically, these are the line items on our Form 7 that we refer to on a monthly basis. But if you go down to right underneath, well, we did these are based off of the KWH sales there at the top, 444 for 2025, and 26 is 455. And those are the revenues down there, bolded, total revenue and energy sales, 52 million and 57 million. And then the anticipated other electric revenues I'm going back and forth between 25 and 26. I'll just stay on 26. The other electric revenues are 3 million because those are known customer deposits that we have. We are anticipating that same amount at the end of 2025. We're almost there. But 27, 28, we were unsure, and so those were known amounts for 26. That's why it's higher. So then, if you look down to the next subsection, deductions from operating revenues, we have our energy purchases. That's KWH, and the cost for KWH, cost of purchase power, again, that pie chart that was 57%, that's where that figure is allocated. And then the next three weren't on that pie chart, and we'll show those on another. So these are basically our wages, and then also our materials and expenses for maintaining the lines and doing all the work, and basically what we're going to present towards the budget. It's the payroll and the other all fall into those three categories, right? Or four categories right there: transmission, distribution, consumer accounts, and then admin in general. But with those being said, the depreciation amount of 3.2 million, then below that, the interest expense, the 2.5, that's what the $900,000 increase. And that arrives at our net operating margins before other income at 7.3. And then we have our interest income. It's reduced quite a bit. 200,000 is what we're anticipating. It's a little low, but it's based off of an average of $5 or $6 million invested in our reserve account, and then 4 or 5 in our operating account throughout the year. So that's the reason why that's and lower, and also so we can take advantage of lower interest rates, strategically taking those loans out when we need to base off of rates.
For a long time, we were able to benefit from borrowing and then investing at a higher rate. And now in 2026, we are holding off on borrowing until we need it because the return on those investments isn't there. And so that's directly related to the reduction. I did tell Jonathan to be conservative on that number, but I did warn him that in the past I've been beat up over that a little bit. So I do think that the way that our strategy is now to try to get the very best rate for the borrowing, we are going to see a far less return because we're going to borrow money when we need to spend it. We will not be putting it in and investing for a few months and then spending it.
Yeah, and the interest rates, I mean, they're creeping down, so they're going to be a little bit lower than they have been. So then our net revenues, so bottom line there.
Why is a non-operating margin, is that what you've just been talking about?
So that title there, non-operating margins, other, that's a line item that shows on the Form 7. That's our gain or loss on sale on trashed or junked transformers, switches, meters.
So why is it so much more, why is it so much different than the previous 3 years?
So this year,
$200,000 more, I'm just curious why.
So that's a good question. So every year we usually project it to be a little bit higher because we don't necessarily know how it's going to play out. And then throughout the years, we're not done with this year. We have 92,000. We're not done with that year. It just depends on what switches and transformers have gone bad. So we're just... basically, it's a very conservative number. So, I mean, as you can see, the last
so I'll year, tell you that when I did budgeting, I expected that we would take a loss on anything that we sold or had to throw away, switches. There was a time when we had those Shallbetter switches that we were changing out a lot of those. The other thing is with transformers now, because transformers have become such a hot commodity, we don't throw as many away. We send them off, have them refurbished and brought back. But what I typically said was we would usually have a loss of about $150,000, and I would give myself an extra $150,000 on my $60 million margin right there. So...
So right over 7 million is where we're anticipated net margins are going to be from 26. So last month when we discussed this, we were looking at it was about a 6.2 with the initial rate increase of the 0.37, but with the 0.55, it was around an additional $800,000.
And I want to speak on the other electric revenue. If you look, that is in the top section, just under the first bold that says total revenue from energy sales. So those are the non-electric jobs like what Jonathan just referred to tonight, that we had an extra about $200,000 this month for non-electric revenue. If you look at 23, we had about $3.2 million. In 24, we received just over $2 million. And 25, we had $3 million. If you look at that on a five-year average, it's about $2 million. And so if going forward for 27 and 28, we said we anticipate about $2 million in growth in those jobs. with the exception of in 2026, we've already started receiving deposits for jobs that we know is going to bump us up to that $3 million mark. So that is directly correlated to the margins at the bottom being increased because we know those jobs. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have larger jobs that come in. Randall's reporting that we have Bridge Source, Moapa West. There is going to be growth, but we are conservative in our revenue, and so we keep that at $2 million for future years.
Okay, so this right here is our by customer class, KWH revenue sales, what we're anticipating to receive, and then the, again, 445, 444, actually these include our own use, so they're not backed out, so those are slightly different than the other sheet that, or the other slide that we showed, but 445 and 446, that's right around where our KWH sales are anticipated. And then right here is the breakdown of those percentages, KWH sales with the revenue. So our residential is the largest at 49%, and large commercial at 21%, and small commercial at 18%. And then the others are all detailed there. So that's where the breakdown on revenue, where it's going to come from. So then, and then this here is essentially the same. It's just a same thing of the graph before, except with showing in the columns and details. So, and then here, where will our revenue go? So this is, as we were talking earlier, a cost of power. This is basically by account where we show on our Form 7. So the cost of purchase power is there at 57%. And then we have our margins. This is down, obviously, our bottom line. But then in each of these accounts that we show monthly, our transmission expense at 2%, distribution expense 10%, and then that includes maintenance and operations. We have two different line items on Form 7, but then admin and general expense at 7%, and then depreciation, interest, and consumer expenses. So this one more aligns with our Form 7 of the detail. So then here's the, so basically if we take that pie graph and we take each one of these subheadings and we go through and do each account through our books, which all these totals are here. I won't go through these line by line unless anybody has any questions on these that they'd like to bring up. There are a few that I'd like to point out. But again, we have our purchase power, our transmission expense. We have our distribution, the breakdown there of distribution operation and distribution maintenance. The next one, consumer account expense, customer service, and information. And the next one, admin in general. There's a couple I want to point out here. On the top line, 920.01, the admin and general clerical operations. If you notice, there's a significant increase from 25 to 26. So included in that increase is the increased healthcare costs. And then the, well, that's the majority of that increase there. And then also, if you go down to line 928.01, regulatory expense, WEC. So our 2026 is down in the third quarter, the bottom quarter of that. The WEC expense there, 536, that's the WEC expenses of the 350 that we are known expense, and then also our 100 and, well, our additional and employee, the majority of that falls in there. Not all of his wages and expenses are going to be recorded in there. Some of that goes up in that top one. 920.01. But also Melissa wanted to point out that although we haven't paid any WEC expenses, well, we have obviously there, but we do have a $350,000 expense to ADCO or third party entity that's assisting us with our WEC compliance. That's going to be in that 2025. They have yet to invoice us yet, but we're anticipating that's going to happen, right, Melissa, in 2025. Yeah. So it's not an included right there on that line where we just have year to date $82,000, but most likely that will come in 2025.
So we are meeting with the APCO staff bi-monthly, and then we have a call each month with the APCO staff and WEC. And so we talked to you guys about the fact that they were going to charge us the $350,000 for the setup. They are also doing an immense amount of work on their side in working with Randall and submitting paperwork back and forth, doing reviews. They just have yet to bill us. They've been doing all of that, and they haven't sent us a bill. And so I talked to their attorney the other day and said, please send me a bill so that I can prove that we are working with you. And and also, I don't want to be hurrying on New Year's Eve to get the bill paid so we can have that in 25. So that expense is coming.
So I didn't bring up on those other transmission and distribution expenses, but the increase on those from 25 to 26 have just been slightly, they're pretty much in line with 25s, and this is the first significant one with the total admin in general. If you see, we're at 3.9 million in 25, we're at 4.7 in 26, which is the majority of that comes from the WEC compliance requirements.
I noticed you kept the advertising expense the same. I think we need to watch for public relations purposes, a little caution so that it's nice it's not going up, because we don't need to advertise. I mean, there's nobody else, you know.
Right.
And so, but I understand some support for community, you know, you need to be out in the community, but we don't want to get out of hand. So it's nice that it's like staying steady. And if they raise the rates, I guess we'll have to have a little smaller ad, maybe.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you.
Yeah.
Then so this next one, depreciation amortization, talked about that earlier, 3.2 million in the subtotal there in bold, slightly up from 25. And then our interest expense, again, we talked about that one. If you notice on the second one, 427.11, the interest on long-term debt, that actually decreases because our loans we're paying, you know, top end, we're paying principal, I'm sorry, interest, and then as those are getting paid off, we're paying less interest expense and more on principal. And so in 2028, we have a big majority of our debt that's going to be paid off then. So that's where the reduction in that is. And then our operating margins there, and then again, this is detailed next page. This is our interest income, and then our other gain on sale and property at that $300,000, which is again the extremely conservative number, and then total net margins at just over $7 million. So, are there any questions so far about that? We have additional expenses that are presented that we're going to go through. But any questions on that so far? Okay. Well, this is our cash flow. We brought this up the last 2 months also. In 2025, a couple of things I want to point out. We have the top line, if we look at 2025, cash balance beginning of the year, $3.9 million. Our funds available from revenues, that's our $3.7 million in net margins. Then the depreciation expense, the $9 million. Then our capital improvements, we kind of faced this last year also. So right now we were projected to spend or invest $28 million in our capital projects. Last year, some of that carried over in 2026. So we have some of those invoices that we haven't received yet, and some of that might carry over into 2026. So those balances could change when everything's said and done for 2025. But if we look at the top at 2026, the second line, again, there's our $7 million revenue and depreciation. I put the $10 million in there. Simply, I'm not proposing that we need to borrow another additional million, but just to show our bottom line there for our cash there in bold, the $9,987,000, to keep that at $10 million is where we were in, what we're projecting to have. And so if the revenues are what they are in 25, 3.7, I'm sorry, the margins, and then if we actually spend what we do or invest in the capital improvements for 25 and 26, then that's where we'll need to arrive at to maintain a $10 million revenue. Then if you look at cash reserve. So if you look at 27 and 28, there's additional borrowing there in 27, 3.5 million. And then our reduced capital improvements amounts. We've actually met twice and talked about what those capital improvement amounts are gonna be. And 2027, we haven't made decisions yet, but this is just to give you an idea of where things would have to lay to remain at a $10 million reserve. So, is there anything you want to say on that, Melissa, or did you all have any questions on that?
I'll say that for 2025, Jonathan had anticipated in his budget a $3.7 million margin. If, say, margins went to 4.5, that remaining cash would then transfer over to 2026, reducing what would be required to borrow. And in 2027, we say that our capital budget is typically about $4.5 million, and then anything above that is for the reliability plan. And so you can see on there that Jonathan has $7.4 million, just because some of those projects that we postponed from 25 and 26 got moved to 27. Our staff is, we're looking at having additional studies done, as well as reprioritizing what has to get done for 27 through 29. We're not asking for any approval. He's just giving you what did we have slated for 27 for now. And so we're not asking for borrowing. He simply put borrowing in so that we would maintain the balance of $10 million in the bank. Bring us home, Jonathan. You're doing good.
Okay. And these are just in there. If anybody has any questions or comments, this was the capital budget that was approved last month.
The shaded ones are the ones that sort of see how our cash flow is and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep, nothing has changed. This is just for you guys. If you had any review, it's easier for him to have it in the presentation when you're looking at the expense, but there's no change to what was approved.
Possibility of some postponable for cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only comment that I have on this, after our last board meeting, you know, we talked about going back and forth and what we should put in, what we should take out. Do we do a mid-year review of kind of where we're at? I don't know if it's hardware or what. But at the same time, we approved the budget, right? We said, Melissa, or staff, here's your budget. We trust you with that. Do what you think is necessary as priorities exist. And I think, and I'm not too sure that I might have been one that said it. But part of the issue that I have with that a little bit is I feel like we kind of hamstring our manager of saying, here's your budget, but don't spend it unless you come back and talk to us. And so I got thinking about that from our last budget meeting, and I'm like, I don't know how fair that is to staff or Melissa on the fact of here's the budget. We obviously must trust her and rely on her to do the right thing for Over to Power and hopefully the ratepayers. And so I had a little bit of heartburn after we left that. I mean, I just kind of thought about it over the last week or two, and I'm like, you know, are we asking her to come back and say, you know what, in 3 to 6 months, before you spend any more money, before you do this, we want to give you the okay again. And so I don't know that that's right or wrong. That's just my thoughts. I don't know that I feel great about giving her a budget or staff a budget and then not really trusting her to do the budget as she sees fits.
I think that kind of depends on, she doesn't have some of the information yet. She needs to know how hot it's going to be next summer. She needs to know these things, and then depending on what she finds out.
To my point, Bob, I trust Melissa in what she's going to do. If she has an issue or an issue that's going to come up that she doesn't feel great about, I wholeheartedly believe that she's going to come back to the board and let us know that. Our point is, all we talk about is we trust her, we rely on her, we absolutely think she's the right person for the job. But yet at the same time, I feel like through the budget process a month ago, we kind of are holding her back slightly. Not saying that it's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is, if we're going to let her run the ship, and we gave her a budget and let her prioritize what those items are, if there's an issue that's going to come up, I feel like she's going to come to us and let us know prior to that project. And so it's just my thoughts. I'm not saying we're changing anything or nothing like that. I just kind of feel like if we're going to pass that budget, which we did, I think we need to give her a little bit of latitude to do what she thinks is best for OPD and the ratepayers without really having to feel like she has a shadow over her head. I don't know that she feels that way. That's just my thoughts from the last board meeting. I kind of rely on her. I think she's been very forward with us as far as, you know, hey, this is where we're at with the market. Here we are. The expenditures are going to go here. I kind of rely on her, and I trust her on the fact of if there's an issue that's going to come back to us and let's talk about it.
I think we have full faith in her, but I think what we were intending to say was, we will approve this amount of borrowing. If our revenues don't come in where we think they are, before we borrow more than that, let's review these.
And I'm not talking about necessarily borrowing. I'm just talking about the overall budget. That's all I'm saying. And listen, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. And I understand Mike. I think Mike, we probably agree more on this than we don't.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make a point of, I just feel like, you know, we need to kind of rely on Melissa and staff. That if there is a hiccup coming down the road, they're going to let us know that.
I think the way it's prioritized here,
which we redid this.
In a way, she knows what to cut it. She has to. Sometimes the staff comes in, everything's approved, let's go. And otherwise, you say, hey, listen, reconsider these if revenue don't make it. But it's her job to reconsider, not ours necessarily. But I'm sure from our conversation, she knows we're worried about the finances, and she's going to be conservative. She sort of said that when we were talking about even interest rates. And on this, some of the things like relocate 9 poles. Mm-hmm. Well, she can say, hey, staff, we don't have the money. And it gives her a little more authority in a way, because staff will come in now, I got to replace my 9 poles. Well, the board gave me the authority here. We're actually giving her the authority to do this, I think, and having the staff tell her what the priorities are, too, so that she isn't cutting wildly or anything. She, hey, these are the way we looked at it. We got the money. We're not going to do it. And we got the money. Let's do them. And, yeah.
Just my comments, that's all.
Yeah, I think we're right on target with it, but I think we've trusted her with that, but gave her some ammunition too to use. Sometimes it's tough when the staff comes in and says, I want 9 poles. So,
I have never had a hard time saying no to Randall. So, but I appreciate, well, I appreciate that you're on my side, Mike. All right, keep us going, Jonathan. Thank you.
All right, no, anyway.
Okay, so those are. Okay, this portion right here, so all of those main accounts that we report monthly on the Form 7, this is this is the majority of the controllable expenses that contribute to those accounts. And we go through this process beginning in September. Merlin's created a super nice interactive budget proposal and basically software for us to use for each person in each manager, each person, whoever's allowed to go in there and contribute to this budget, and it's reviewed by the managers, and then we've went back with each of the managers. We've talked and discussed these, and we've met over the past month since September about where and arriving at these expense budgets. So to begin, this is the engineering department with Randall, and he's prepared to answer any questions. If I don't think we're not going to go line by line here, but there's a few I think that Randall wants to point out, or a few that you all.
I don't want to point out anything.
Yeah, she's going to take it away from
us. I know. Yeah. Lisa will say no. I'm just here to. If you guys had anything on that list that you wanted to have questions.
Would you
about.
Accept a 65-inch TV instead of 7?
You know what? Yes. Yeah. Sure.
don't get like started.
I want to just add for color on this. This is so valuable because this is the meat and potatoes of the conversation that we as a management group have when we're doing budget reconciliation. What did their staff ask for? What did managers approve? What did then Jonathan and I approve from that? And this is the reconciliation of that. Every one of these are a not to exceed. So our managers know that first off, I don't even have to tell them, they just know that if they're allotted this expense budget, they do not go out and spend all of that money on January 1st. That's throughout the year. They're always responsible. I don't have to tell them though. Every one of the men at this table care very much about keeping their budget in line. And so I, of course, monitor that, but I'm not nickel and diming this. They know that if something on this comes back, and say the secondary revolts replacements needed to be $3,000 or $4,000, then Randall would either come to me and say, I'm reducing another area of my budget, or we need to go back to the board for additional budget. So all of these are not to exceed. Next department, Jonathan.
Okay, finance department, any questions? Any questions there?
That's a lot of money, John. Therefore, dang.
Line operations, Kyle. Okay. Substation, Kevin.
Can we go back to line ops? Kyle has an easy budget, and I don't mean to pick on you, but this is something, when I talk about the not to exceed, so maintaining right-of-way clearance for tree trimming is $250,000. Kyle is not going to go above $250,000 unless we have an incredibly wet year and the river bottom gets thick and we have additional clearing that we need to do, then he would come to you. But also, it as a not to exceed, if we have a dry year and there isn't the tree trimming that's necessary, we just don't do it. It would be the same for, what was your line maintenance, 90,000?
90.
Yeah, 90,000. Same thing. If we have a very wet year and a number of the roads get washed out and it needs extra budget, we would come back to you. But if it doesn't and he only needs to spend 50, those expenses just don't get incurred. Then that just goes back to the margins and that cash is reallocated for the next year. So those are easy ones to point out that they're pretty fluid depending on weather, just like our energy sales.
Okay, so substations and then administration. There's two pages here. So
Scott loves to spend the money. He actually has a very large department, and he does a very good job of keeping up with all of his purchases.
And that's all for all for those. So here Basically, we just show graphical representation for modified debt service coverage comparison over the years. For the last 4 years, we're anticipated at 1.87. I know that's what we actually anticipate for 2025, but our actual is looking more like 1.59. Debt service coverage, that's a little bit different. It's less modified, I guess, for our revenues. So that ratio is a little bit lower, 1.81. Equity is a percentage of assets, 75%. So we're anticipating at the end of 2026, then our gross plant at just over $233 million. So continued growth there every year. And then electricity sold, KWH, we've seen these numbers quite a bit before in comparison of the last 4 years. Our outage ASAI, so those numbers do reflect a very high percentage of power being on. However, one thing to keep in mind that there are, yes, outages aren't that, they're few and far between, but there are customers that we have, commercial customers, that when they do experience an outage, yes, even if it's just bumped, that it doesn't reflect here, but it has a, you know, a huge impact on their operations from just even a slight bump in power outage. So although these reflect that our, you know, percentages are most of the time on, they need to keep in mind that there are customers that are suffering from, you know, bumps that set them back for hours and hours while they try to get back up to speed. Number of meters per employee, I didn't pull the data on that, but we're the comparisons, but that's what we're anticipating for 2026 with our growth, and that's with the maintaining the no new hires, not including the four additional one. That's with
that does not include the four.
That's correct.
I thought it included one. I thought you had it at 61 employees instead of 60.
For sure.
It was, well, that includes Eldon's in there. Okay. And it was, and I actually, it's actually 60 and a half. I was thinking 61 because we have a part-time employee. So
wait, what's the national average on that? We're at 322 and 26.
I can get that to you. We have a KRTA, and I didn't.
We're typically well above the national
average. Yeah, way above. Yeah. To me, it was in the 200 or something.
Yeah, I'll get that to you.
I'm just kind of curious with that.
Yeah, we're really excellent in that. I mean, tremendous.
You call it excellent. I call it running extremely thin on employees.
Amen.
Well, what do you mean? He said he didn't include them. You just don't want to show it. Okay.
We'll bring that back next month, and we'll show if we did bring those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And ours, I think it showed also the state average, too. We were just, I think, state.
Yeah.
And then the meter served there, we're anticipating at the end of 26 to have 19,638. That meters per employee, I did an average of what we were, what we hope to be at the end of 25 and at 26 and divided by 2. So it's an average throughout the year, not based off of the 19,638.
Maybe, John, when you do that on the outage, also show what the national average is on the outage, because it's typically nationally, it's in the 94-95 percentage.
Much lower.
You get so much during hurricane season and tornadoes in the Midwest.
Ice storms.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So sure, will you bring up the
sure
action item, please?
About sure. The meters per person, because it is writing up the story, isn't there?
To go back a slide.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Oh, yep.
Sorry. We don't have to do it this meeting, but I think it would be beneficial if we would discuss the equity as a percent of assets. Why is that number so high and so out of balance with even our coal. What are we doing that's causing that ratio to be there? I don't want to spend time right now, but I think that's something we should discuss and revisit, because it's something that we're doing that might not be necessary.
I would love to have that discussion. We are putting together, like I said, a plan for some studies for future growth, which will include a borrowing plan, which will feed directly into that discussion. So you're speaking my language already. You're teeing me up.
Way to go, Chad.
Hopefully the thing can be pretty basic, because I'm not sure I understand exactly what is in that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Yeah. First year students, you know.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve the 2026 expense budget as presented.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? All right. Wow. Okay, Jay. Review and possible approval of board meeting schedule for action.
So our board meetings are typically scheduled for the third Wednesday of every month at 3 p.m. There are two items that I would like to point out that I would like to ask for us to change. The first one is in March. That would normally be scheduled on the 18th of the month, but I have requested that you guys allow me to move that to the 25th, and the reason for that being, we have the NRECA annual meeting that many of you will be in attendance is the week before that. Coming back on the 18th, that is best practices that we attend, and we send a number of employees to in Las Vegas for NREA, as well as spring break for any of the, there are some of us employees who have school age kids that will be on spring break, but we also have employees whose spouses work at the school and they are also on vacation. And I would appreciate it if you guys would show some grace there and allow us to move that back a week so that we could take advantage of spring break with our families. And then on December...
You're saying move it back or move it forward?
Move it back later. Because... Later. Yes, 1 week later.
Later in the month.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Indicated
because
day,
we would be... Yeah, we would be at NRECA annual meeting the week before. Right. And so, and I don't know if Jonathan will forgive me if I move board meeting up twice in 1 year. The second one being in December, I know that it is a hardship for our financial staff to move that up, but it is very convenient for you guys as a board and for the rest of staff to have board meeting done that week earlier. So those are the only changes to any of the normal schedule.
I move we approve the proposed meeting schedule as presented
with the changes.
It's as presented.
It's already changed.
It's as presented.
I'll second that.
Oh, very good. We have a motion. We have a second. Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I will bring you a printed copy next month.
Excellent. Review and possible approval. This is item K of the Arrow Canyon Solar contract for possible action.
I discussed with you guys last month that I had a meeting with NV Energy. There are two solar developments that are located inside Overton Power service territory. The standby or backfeed power, as it's called, is being served by NV Energy. I have been in communication with both of those entities and NV Energy, and I'm presenting to you, Byron has approved both of these contracts. I'm presenting to you, this one is for the Arrow Canyon project. That's a 200 megawatt solar project with 75 megawatts of battery storage. This contract, if we could go, I'll just tell you instead of trying to find the page. This one, through our negotiations, we set the rate for this contract. Their backfeed power is just under 1.5 megawatts. Our current contract with Tenasca Power Services is any load that comes in larger than 1.5 megawatts requires a special agreement or a, Byron, what is the word I'm looking for? Addendum? A confirm to our contract. So these guys are just under that. However, through our negotiations, I told them that we would not be giving them our normal commercial rate. They do not get the benefit of our hydro, our legacy hydro contracts, or the rate of our solar. We would be selling to them directly from our Tenasca or our market contract, and so those rates would always be based on that. So if you look on the Arrow Canyon project, that rate is at $89.70 megawatt hour, and they have agreed to that.
What is the projected revenue? Or are we not talking about that yet?
Can we do that? Okay. So I am looking for a motion to approve this contract for the Arrow Canyon project.
I make a motion that we approve this.
Oh, excellent. We have a motion. We have a second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same thing now for L. Solar Partners.
So this is for the Gemini project, Mr. Chair. The Gemini project is the largest solar facility, I believe, in the western United States, certainly in Nevada. It is 690 megawatts of solar and 380 megawatts of battery storage. They have not been as easy to negotiate with, but we have made good progress and we have come to an agreement for them. Their station power is scheduled to be about 14 megawatts a month. So they will be our largest customer as if this is agreed upon by the board. We have been working, in fact, we have a meeting tomorrow with NV Energy to try to finalize the live meter feed from their project, because we're going to have to do special scheduling for them. This one, I do want to talk about the rates to make it clear for you guys. I negotiated this with Tenasca and them. So this is, the pricing is for a one-year term. Stephen, that is attachment A at the end of the, one more. There we go. So this pricing is only for 1 year. We originally gave them a three-year price, and it was significantly more because you're basing that on the risk for the further out years. They asked to come back for just a one-year price, and so that is at $95 per megawatt hour that they will be charged. That is based on the rate that we received from Tenasca. And then because they are such a large load, they are required to pay anything that they take above 14 megawatts. They will pay a market price. So they originally, through our negotiations, Tenasca had given them bandwidths similar to what they did with us. Through those negotiations, they've come back and said, anything over 14 megawatts, they will pay a market rate. You will see in the next item, we agree to do that. Any cost that is charged to us, we are going to pass on to them. And then Gemini is required to do day-ahead forecasting, which is why it's key that we have the live meter data through NV Energy. And then we've detailed out that they will pay $1.41 per kW for their transmission fees. And then any cause of EIM charges that they have based on their day-ahead scheduling that Overton Power incurs, we will then true up with them quarterly, and they have agreed to that. So this is a good project to get done. And they have been operating in our service territory for far longer than I appreciate. So I'm happy to get this wrapped up and for Overton Power to secure our service territory.
So Melissa, at the end of that 1 year, is that a renegotiation? Is that, see how the year goes?
It, we do not renegotiate the contract. We just give a new price, and it states in here that that will happen in October or November of every year to tell them what the price is going to be for them. And they'll get to take part in that conversation with Tenasca.
The term for this contract was different from the other one, but this is a 5-year contract agreement with them, and the 1 year is just pricing. So for those 5 years, we'll address it yearly, but overall contract's 5 years, and then we'll need
price will be yearly type thing.
Yes, but we'll, in 5 years, have to readdress this contract. The other one that we saw was for 25. Mm-hmm.
Will either one of these projects, are we changing transmission routes or anything, or just the contract?
No, sir.
Okay, so there's no chance of power problems like we've had?
No. No, this is, these projects have already been going. Yeah.
They all tie into that crystal substation.
We get to set the price, though, but what's the negotiation deal?
I mean, you know, when you've done, we got it here, but next year, when you say, we just give you a price next year, don't we? Just like we do any of our other customers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. They don't have any negotiating position, hardly.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I say we want to certainly be a good provider, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They're keenly aware that we are a not-for-profit entity, and that we are basing their rates on our market contract through Tenasca, that they will never be of benefit from our legacy hydro or our solar contracts.
And with each power contract that we have, our rate may go up or down, of course, and that will affect this rate.
At a yearly price. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. At the end of 3 years.
When our contract's up with Tenasca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 years.
So this the Gemini project, their rate that they're charged will be reevaluated annually. The other contract that we just approved through Arrow Canyon, that is through 2027. So when we do a new contract with Tenasca, their rate would then change at that time. So I'm looking for a motion for approval.
Move we approve the contract with Solar Partners
11.
Okay, we have a motion.
I second it.
We've got a second. Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Okay. Item M, review and possible approval of Tenasca confirmation letter.
So, as I explained, with Tenasca, the way that our PPA is structured, if anything comes in that is over 1.5 megawatts, it then requires for us to go to Tenasca for that. Because the Gemini project is larger than 1.5 megawatts, then Tenasca needed to do a confirm of our current contract to allow for them to serve this. And so, again, Byron and I have reviewed this, been in contact with Tenasca, and this is the confirm that would be attached to our current EEI master agreement with Tenasca so that we could take on that load.
No controversy about this, it's just...
No, Tenasca is very easy to work with.
Okay. I move we approve the the approval of Tenasca confirmation letter.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Excellent. Public comment.
I'm Gary Elgort again, the Skeet Citizen. Melissa, I am always impressed by your grasp of all the details of the things.
Gary, you know you're my favorite customer. I tell you every time.
From the first meeting I came to, which just happened to be a budget meeting, and now another budget meeting, your grasp of it then was incredible, and your grasp still has remained at that level. Your detail and your knowledge in this area is just blows me away.
Thank you.
And Jonathan, you walked into some large but I seem to be doing a pretty good job of it. However, I would implore you, next time you look at a rate increase, to go back to your paid study and look at how you're going to do base rate charges. Because this time you really, I think you dropped the ball. I think you put the burden on the residential customers. I think you were sitting there looking at a deficit that you needed a bucket you needed to fill. And the easy way was, and I listened to the meeting and I heard different comments, that the easy way was to go, well, let's just do $4 because $4 times this equals the number we need. Plus, you increased your rates, but that's understandable. You know, I'm on the board at the Water District, and we have the same struggle with rates sitting in these same chairs. And you want to do what's right for your customers, and you want to do what's right for business, because what the two of us, water and electric, without it, the whole city goes away, the whole area goes away. So we're crucial and we're important, but we also want to take care of our customers. And I just feel like this time that didn't go as well as it should have. And for the training that you presented earlier for these guys out in the lineman, very impressive. When I went to work for Steam in Manhattan, and I walked into this class with a bunch of guys that looked like your linemen, and they were all gruff and
shady.
wearing dirty boots, field people. And you get in there and you get this impression of physical power, you know, like we can lift a pole and we can pull manhole covers or whatever. But you don't understand the level of intelligence that's there and the level of work they have to go through and what they have to learn. And it was very good that you reviewed all that for the board and for me personally, to see that these just aren't guys that are just out there making a big payday because they work bad hours. They're making their money because they earned it and they learned all this trade, and I think that's wonderful. But again, please next time look at the base rates, hopefully the right way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Any others? Anyone in Overton?
No.
I didn't see anybody there.
Any trustee comments?
Yeah, I think that his point was very well taken, and I think maybe have the staff look at possible adjusting the rate for commercial customers. Certainly a $10,000 or $20,000 increase is not really in the cards, but maybe you can come back to us within a few months with some kind of working on adjusting the rates upward, like $100 a year or something, so we can get them more aligned with what they should be. But it's pretty hard to do it all right now, obviously, but maybe the staff can work on it in 6 months or so. We can consider adjusting those rates, the base charge for the bigger customers.
Yeah, one comment I would make is we're not really competing with anybody for residential customers, but we certainly are for commercial customers. And we've already had a rough few months with commercial customers, and they are the ones packing the major dollars for this rate increase.
The overall increase to them was significantly different than to a residential.
Yeah, they're paying tons more, so I think we have to be sensitive, and these are vital to our communities, so we can't just attack them because there's a way we can. So I think we need to be careful.
Yeah. Sort of an ooze process.
Yeah.
Raising up gently.
And they're using power year-round.
And their load factor is completely different than a residential, so yeah.
And the fact is, it does cost us more to serve them. I mean, we send people over, talk to them, and chat with them, and they've got questions and stuff. So there is more staff time involved and stuff. So yeah, the adjustment probably is a good idea.
I'd just like to say thank you for the staff, for the crew. You know, we knew this year was going to be a challenging year, you know. We get to June, we'd made $25,000 in profit. But we knew that it was going to be a challenging year till the solar kicked in with our new contract. And I think we've handled the adversities very well. We've come through, our projects are continuing, getting those all done, adding the staff that we need. We've had five or six people retire this last year, and it's just a seamless transition. I think we've had a wonderful it's been a challenging year from the previous year because we knew we had financial issues, but we've come through it very well. I just appreciate all the staff.
Okay, looking for item P, approval of next board meeting on January 21st at the Overton Boardroom.
Please.
I make a motion that we do that.
I was like, he's sleeping over there.
You just approved the schedule. Come on.
How about a second?
I'll second that.
Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Mr. Chair, I do need an executive session tonight. I will try to keep it very brief, but we do have some items to discuss.
A 3-4 minute break here, and then we'll do an executive session.